Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, rise and shine. You're on with this due time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Yesterday was Let's Talk About It Tuesday Church Folk Day. And, did we have a lot to talk about yesterday? We talked about those crazy people over in the orgy house who are complaining that they have been mistreated. Yes, some women have claimed that while on the floor dancing and partying and while the wild orgies were going on, that said that they were slammed up against the walls. Some say that they were groped. Some say that they were even forced to have sex and were berated on the floor and pressed to be in an orgy group. But that's what it's there for. Everybody's there to do the daggone thing. Yes, and they've said that they've gone to the owners, they've gone to the organizers, and the organizers have said, listen, every encounter here is consensual. You know, when they come in and they say that they want to be a part, this is what they sign up for. And, you know, we want to support everybody. But, you know, there's going to be some negative experiences. And that's kind of what you sign up for. Wow. Oh, boy. What a situation. We also talked about the fact that, yes, they do plan on banning TikTok in the United States. Will it happen? I don't know. You know, everybody's not as happy about this as others are. Some people say, you know, that's how they make their money. Yes. Some, you know, protesters say TikTok helped me grow my business. TikTok changed my life for the better. So, you know, we don't know whose side anyone is particularly on. But time will only tell whether TikTok will still be in the United States after all the smoke has cleared. Well, one of our big conversations was Michael Todd during one of his many sermons decided to throw, what do you call it, syrup and whipped cream on the Bible. Yeah, he had his reasons. He had his reasons. You know, I got a comment from a listener yesterday that I missed, so I will read it this morning. He was talking about the body being a temple of the Lord, of the Holy Spirit, and how people are disrespecting the temple with their diet. That's why he was throwing food around and on the Bible. It was a good message and illustration, but he crossed the line to prove a point. I think he'd be doing too much purposely. And people are rightfully concerned that what people are saying about their leader might be true, and they are moving to protect themselves. Now, during his, I don't want to call it a tirade, but I'll call it a tirade. During this tirade, when he heard the people gasp, he's like, well, what y'all acting like this for? Y'all stop acting like this. You don't care. Stop acting like this matters to you. You know, because his point was, you weren't paying attention to what's on the inside of the Bible. So whether I trash it literally or not, it shouldn't bother you. And, yeah. You know, we can cross the line at times, and him throwing Cheetos around the pulpit area and all kinds of different food items. Yes, he was talking about, you know, the fact that we don't take care of our bodies, we don't eat healthy. Yeah, I did see the video. And, you know, there's just certain things, in my personal opinion, we don't do. You know, in all the ways that we can give a sermon, in all the ways that we can prove points, there's certain things that we don't have to do in order to get our point across. So, I don't know. You know, this is... You know, he has become extremely controversial, and I personally think, you know, he's trying to get some attention. Now, he has an extremely large congregation, if you will, and predominantly young people out in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and... Do you really need to do that to get attention? Do you really need to do that to, again, prove a point? And, well, you know, some people are beginning to feel in his congregation that he's going too far, because he mentioned that after the spitting sermon, he started to lose people. Yeah, I have not looked at that interview. But that there's an interview out there, and there's a couple of YouTube videos about the fact that he has been losing his members and some staff, and he is not happy about this. So, you know, when you are behaving like this, and now... you begin to lose people instead of you saying you don't believe that God would tell these people to leave, maybe you should consider the fact that you're spitting on people and the things that you're doing. Even if it was his brother, you know, it was his brother, it wasn't a stranger, it wasn't a regular parishioner, it was family. But people were not feeling that. And now that you're pouring syrup and whipped cream and stuff on the Bible and throwing stuff around the pulpit and, you know, things like that, you know, where some people do consider sacred. You know, everybody's not moving along with you. So, might be a little time to reevaluate some of the stuff you're doing. He also had a very controversial, some would call it, Super Bowl church service. Yeah, they said he called the rappers in, and he had a Super Bowl party in time, and some people weren't feeling that. So I don't know. You know, again, he didn't start off this way. I know that much, because there were times when I would, you know, see what the hype was about Pastor Mike Todd, and now I don't have to see, because he's all over the place. So I don't know. This is where we've come to, people. This is where we've come to. Wow. Today is Wow Wednesday, y'all. Yes, 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 and yes. Oh, we're halfway through the week by the grace of God. So we about to get this party started. So go ahead and get that healthy breakfast. Go ahead and tell somebody that It's Due Time with Pastor Steph is on. And whatever you do, don't go anywhere, because we will be right back.
I'm Dr. Frank McMillan.
And I'm Dr. Raj Devarajan.
Colorectal cancer is the second leading cause of cancer-related death in the United States, claiming more than 50,000 lives each year.
The cancer occurs in the colon and rectum, parts of the large intestine, and is caused by growths called polyps that can turn into cancer.
Screening for colorectal cancer saves lives, but 23 million American adults, about 1 in 3, don't get screened as recommended.
Colorectal cancer affects men and women, and the risk rises with age and a family history of the disease. If you're over 50 or have a family history of the disease, early screening is recommended.
Screening can reduce the risk of colorectal cancer by up to 90% by finding and removing the growths before they turn into cancer.
For more information on colorectal cancer and the different screening tests available, visit the American College of Gastroenterology.
Good morning and good morning again. Welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And it is Wow Wednesday. By the grace of God, we're in the middle of the week. And we don't have to worry about, how we going to make it through the day. It's hump day. No, God has already figured that out for us. So we ain't got to go through all of that. Amen. All right, now we got our girl Vivian on with us to bring us our socially conscious segment. So let's say good morning to our girl Vivian. Good morning, Viv.
Good morning. Happy Wow Wednesday. How are you, Pastor Seth?
I am well, thank you. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Good, good, good. You know what I'm always asking? What you got for us today?
Okay, today on Socially Conscious, we are starting off with a really quick story about how bad the rat infestation is getting in New York City. It's so bad that New York City Health Department is offering a class they are calling Rat Academy, and it has started this month, March. The agency is offering an educational course on rat management. The academy offers two different types of trainings on rat management. Community training. This is a free two-hour course. It is open to anyone who wants to learn about rat management. And then they have the pest control professionals. This three-day advanced course for pest control professionals focuses on the biology and behaviors of rats. It's offered online and in person, and is available to everyone and anyone, but they're saying that if you are a superintendent or building staff, employee, property managers and owners, neighborhood associations, community gardeners, and or a local business owner, you definitely want to look into taking these classes. To sign up for the community-based training or for more information on how to host or sponsor a training, email ratportal@healthnyc.gov or call 311. Next, we have the migrants in the news again as they are sharing another point of view about these migrants. They're saying that newly arrived young adults are facing challenges of enrolling in school. A 20-year-old man shares his story about how he came here looking to get his high school diploma in the United States. But as of right now, he has been finding it difficult to accomplish this goal. He says in only 4 months, he has moved from one shelter to another, living first in Manhattan, then Brooklyn, and now out in the Bronx, after the city instituted a 30-day shelter limit for adult migrants last year. He actually shared that as of last week, the decision was made to extend the 30 days to 60 days for adults under the age of 23 as part of the city's right to shelter settlement. So now if you are under the age of 23, you get 60 days in the shelter. They are saying that there are currently over 800 single immigrant youth between the ages of 17 and 20, close to 900, where that are in the city's shelter system as of March 3rd. According to City Hall, dozens of them have told shelter staff they want to graduate from high school but haven't been enrolled, even though they are entitled to do so under federal law. Many organizations that are meant to help these young adults obtain this goal have been finding it difficult. They say that 60 recent applications went out and only 6 of those individuals have successfully been enrolled in school so far. Some have been told there is no space. Some have been put on waiting lists, and others said they were only given the option of taking the GED equivalency test, the high school equivalency test. According to these groups, they are saying newly arrived migrant youth of the age group between 17 and 20, that it's rare for someone to identify them, as a school-age student, as a youth who needs to be in school, and they are looked at as adults or they are just overlooked, period. So again, we have another point of view of this craziness that is going on with the migrants. Next, I came across a very interesting, business idea. It's called a sob parlor, or also called a cry spa. A 31-year-old man by the name of Anthony Villatoti He is the Saab Pollard founder. He introduced this concept of cathartic whale sessions in the city back in 2022. So this has been going on for 2 years now. They say if you are in need of an emotional release, you can book a 30-minute appointment in a private cry room where you are welcome to come sob on your lunch break and then go right back to work as if nothing happened. The cost for this session is $20, or at least for this young man. He says New Yorkers are so used to struggling through the daily grind, making lemonade out of lemons without a safe and healthy space for them to cry it out. He has found the number one reason people come to him for a cry session is heartache after experiencing a bad breakup. He says he has his own personal heartache, which inspired him to create his wellness venue back in December of 2022. So with the space, you also get tissue, of course, and under eye patches, eye roller for post-session to get yourself together. Saab Pollard also has an on-call licensed therapist who's able to help if a crying client begins experiencing a mental health crisis. Now, I can assume what many people are going to say about this, but sometimes people may surprise you, and we have been talking about mental health, and he is saying that this is a great way for people to deal with mental health issues. Maybe you don't have a safe space at home to cry. Maybe you don't have a safe space at work to cry. So he has created this safe space for people to come out and use this space to just let it out. So what do you think about this business idea, his thoughts and his takeaways, and would you use or recommend this service to others? And now, in honor of Women's History Month, I'm sharing a story I came across of a 18-year-old young woman by the name of Daya Brown. She is a high school senior from the United States who has been accepted into over 50 universities and has also secured more than $1.3 million in scholarships. Miss Brown, a student at Westlake High School in Atlanta, Georgia, meticulously mapped out her path to higher education with a keen interest in mass communication and film, and curated a list of universities offering programs in her chosen field. Daya didn't stop there. She enriched her student resume with extracurricular activities, diving into poetry, writing, and film production. So she really made it her business to take her high school career and turn it into something spectacular at the end of the day. And she is encouraging the youth, those in her age group, to do the same, not to waste their high school years and taking it advantage, but to really strive and be able to accomplish something like what she just did. 18 years old, $1.3 million in scholarships, and being accepted into 50 universities. That is a very great accomplishment. So we want to shout her out today and honor her on this Women's History Month. This has been Vivian with Socially Conscious, giving you the news that we are following. And remember, if you have any wild stories you would like to submit, please feel free to direct message me on Facebook. My username there is Vivian BM, and come back every Wednesday to find out if your story has been chosen. Thank you, as always, to our loyal listeners, and thank you, Pastor Steph.
Thank you, Vivian, as always. You find them. You sure find them. Thank you so much. We will definitely start our discussion on these news stories. I have not heard from my elder Nitesha, so I'm trusting that she is well. Just could not get to us this morning. And Vivian will be joining us this morning. And we're going to start with our girl, Lady Tamika. Good morning, Lady Tamika.
Good morning to you. Good morning to you, our ladies. And, of course, wouldn't be able to be successful without our listeners.
Oh, that's right. I am well, thank you. How are you?
I am doing well, thank you.
Good. Well, as always, Vivian has given us some stories to think about. We're starting off with the rat infestation courts. Now, if you're an owner, super, and all that kind of good stuff, you can take one of two classes, a community class training, free, and that's one of them. You can take them online or in person. What do you think about this in order to kind of help everyone understand this issue about the rats? And I guess this is a way we're supposed to help to fight them.
As a resident of New York, you know, in my youth, you saw rats, you know, in the subway, that type of thing. But as an adult and a resident of Brooklyn, you walking down the street and they walking down the street in broad daylight, you know, it has gotten really, really bad, you know. And it's not just in a specific borough. I was talking to one of my coworkers, and she said they're in the Bronx, you know. And so if we can find out a way to minimize this issue, you know, I say by all means, let's do it, because it's getting crazy, you know, and you find them in all kinds of places at all times of the day, you know. And if we can minimize it, let's do it, please.
All right. Oh, okay. So Elder Nitesha has just joined us, so we're going to go through the round so she can get some type of idea as to what this first story is about. Shantice, let's say good morning to Shantice and hear what she's got to say about these free courses that have been given, that they are offering, rather, about rat infestation. And Shantice, you going to take this course online, in person? Do you think you really need to know about the rats that much?
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good.
No, I don't need a rat 101 class. For what? What is that? Is that supposed to help to minimize the infestation? Am I going to learn how to become a, what do they call them, exterminator? Am I, like, what is the course really going to do to solve the problem that's out here? You know, when you talk about being in the city, you know, I remember when I first remember it really being, you know, public, that, oh, New York City has such a rat problem, everything. And I remember, I, you know, I didn't watch the news, but it would be like a few clips of them showing, like, a lot of the fast food restaurants and them not being able to get rid of the garbage that they would put on the curb quick enough. So now it's drawing. Like, so is that, are these courses supposed to help, like, solve those kind of issues? Am I going to be a health inspector now? Am I going to, like, what? What are these courses going to do to really be able to solve the problem?
Well, maybe if you took the course, you'd find out.
I don't know. I got upset one day. I was texting, and I don't remember if the word started with like R-A-T or something like that, but a rat or a mouse popped up, you know, like when you start typing the word and the emoji would pop up. And the mouse emoji popped up. I got mad at that. I don't want to study nothing like that when I didn't even want to look at the emoji on my phone. No, that's all right.
All right. Vivian, you know, what do you think about this rat class that's going to teach, I don't know, rat management?
I think it's unfortunate that it has gotten that bad that they feel the need to give a course to help us help them deal with this issue. But ain't nobody finna take that class. I don't see any supers, any business owners, anybody, especially any residents, like just regular old people, taking this course to help with this problem. They, in my opinion, this is a city problem. Y'all need to deal with this. Y'all been trying to deal with this garbage being all over the streets, but I ain't really seen no difference in my travels, to be honest. So y'all need to figure this out. This ain't on me. I'm not taking that class. That was just a waste of time, honestly.
Okay, okay. Well, let's say good morning to Elder Natisha. Good morning, Elder Natisha.
Good morning. Good morning. Please forgive my tardiness. My time change here in Chicago messed me up this morning.
Oh, okay, okay. I was about to send out the search party because I didn't see the prayer this morning. I was logging on. I'm like, where prayer at? And I was like, then you didn't show up. I was like, uh-oh, it's time to send out the peoples. So thank God you're okay. And thank you for joining us today. Excuse me. So there's a Rat Academy that you can take online or in person. And they are offering this Rat Academy to business owners, homeowners, supers, and I guess anyone who feels that they would like to learn more about the rat infestation. And I guess they're going to show you what to do to help to fight this problem here in New York City. Mm. What's your thought? You taking this class? Well, you in Chicago, but, you know, maybe it can't hurt.
Right. Yeah, because they're out here, too. The rats are out here, too. Any city you live in, you know what I mean, you're going to have a couple of rats. You're going to have some rats. But I feel two ways about it. One, I have a phobia of all mice, rats, rodents. Like, I have a serious, serious phobia. I am scared senseless about these things. I don't even like to look at them. We were driving, and I looked over to the left, and it was like rats running, and I was in the car screaming. Greg was like, why? You're in the car. I have a whole phobia with it. But I do think that this sounds like they're saying we can't handle this on our own, and we need the help of everyone with this. Like, everyone has to do their part. You can't just be leaving, you know, things in your basement, you know, and stuff like that. And so, I mean, it probably is. If you are, you know, part owner, if you're owning land and property and you don't want your property to be destroyed by these rodents, because they tunnel holes and will dig into your home and destroy your foundation, your property and stuff like that. So
it probably
would serve, you know, business owners and homeowners, it probably would serve them well to really figure out how they can avoid this before their property gets destroyed. I mean, I think that would be my thought about it.
Okay, okay. Well, I may make Shanti's mad, but my personal thought is, okay, so clearly it's gotten well out of hand. And it will take, it not might take, it will take everyone to kind of understand what it is we need to do. They have, you know, changed the garbage. The way you put out your garbage now, you can't put out loose garbage before a certain time. You have to make sure it's in a can, blah, blah, blah. And I honestly believe that restaurant owners, what do you call those people, supers and landlords, and I think that it needs to be in person, and I think they need to mandate it. Because I think part of the problem is maybe a shrugging off of this issue, you know, let the city take care of it. And, you know, I ain't got to do what I got to, you know, what I need to do. And I think a lot of this also is a lack of knowledge. I think sometimes when we see this stuff, you know, up close and personal and actually do see, you know, we all have heard that rats can be really destructive. We've all heard that. And probably landlords, I'm sorry, landlords, supers and restaurant owners have seen evidence of how bad it can get. But I think it should be mandated. I think it needs to be where they come in person. This ain't going to be no online thing. And they need to go take the time to go and see and, you know, just really fight this from a different angle. Your knowledge is everything. And I think what you think you may know may not be enough. And, you know, a lot of people may not agree with me. It's like, oh, now we got to take time to learn about the rats. Yes. Yes. I think, again, proactive. Everybody's yelling proactive, but yet when we do things that are proactive-ish, if you will, then nobody wants to do it. So I think that especially restaurant owners, especially supers, you know, because look, the school, oh, my gosh, I went by the school and the amount of garbage, there were no garbage cans out there. All of the, and we always talk about how all that food is thrown out all over the place. All the milk cartons and the food, I was like, ooh, this is rat haven right here. Do you want that near your school? Because all they need are holes and things like that. And considering that they're doing work, they're building and they're gutting the yard, and, man, that is definitely an invitation. So I think all of these particular areas need to, I think they need to go, and maybe it might get a little better. I think 20% better is better than 20% worse. So I know a whole lot of people ain't smiling at stuff right now, but I'm all right with that. I think we need to just work on this thing here from a bigger scale, and hopefully things will get a little better.
I think that's the only way you're going to get people to take that course is if you mandate it. Because if you're leaving to options, ain't nobody paying that course no mind.
No, I agree with you. That's exactly why I said you should be mandated, because I agree that if you say, okay, if you'd like to take this, especially if you're given the option for online, oh, you could forget it. You ain't nobody volunteering to go. You know, there's always something more important that needs to be done. There's always something better. You know, or like I said, I already know. Well, maybe we wouldn't have this problem if everybody really knew. So, yeah, I think that's where we need to go. All right. Vivian brought up the migrants one more time. Now, this is quite interesting. I found this really interesting. So, the young adults, excuse me, are now voicing their disappointment in not being able to go to school. Vivian cites one young man who's 20 years old, I believe she said. He said that he specifically came to the United States to get his high school diploma. And because he's been bounced around from shelter to shelter, borough to borough, sounds like he's been in all boroughs except for maybe one, he has not been able to be settled long enough to go to school and complete this process. Now, they've changed, you know, some rules. So if you're under the age of 23, you get 60 days in the shelter, and that would definitely enable you to get settled, I guess, for 60 days and go to some kind of school. And Vivian said there have been like 60 applications sent out, but only six have successfully enrolled in the school or answered or responded to the application. So this, I'm sure this must be a difficult thing. I remember when we did one story about the shelter, when they opened up the field, Bennett's Field, one of the fathers said that he was getting back on the bus to go back to the shelter where he came from because they could not commute from the field to wherever the children were going to school. So at one point they had arranged like school buses, so they had to get up really early in the morning to take them back to that, I guess, that hub, that location, that point, and then you could, you know, take the kids to school or whatever have you. So, you know, this is a different, like she said, this is a different spin on this migrant process or this migrant issue. Shantice, what's your thought?
Okay, so you come here with the hopes of being able to go to school, and now you're getting the runaround and you're not in school. Just thinking about all of the broken promises that a lot of these migrants, you know, received with the, oh, you're going to have this when you get over here, and you're going to be, you know, at least be able to be set up like this when you get over here. And then when you get over here, now you're saying, now you're being told, oh, well, you might as well go back home because, you know, you're not getting that there. So it's like, unfortunately, that's how I'm seeing this now, where that, this, even with you wanting to go to school, falls right into that category. But now, so you're here, and you have these aspirations of getting your education, but what is really set up in place for you to be able to do that? You know, we, a lot of us here, you know, of course not the mandate school K through 12, you know, you just go for those of us here. But there's a lot of people who desire from here to further their education, and they're getting a runaround, whether it's because of finances or whatever the case may be. So it's kind of like, well, you're kind of in the same aspect with them. But I really just see this, again, as being another one of those runarounds you're getting, just like with being able to be set up with somewhere to live and being able to be set up with, you know, being able to get a job. You came here thinking one thing, you'd be able to do this, and unfortunately, it's not, nothing is helping you to be set up for success to be able to do that. Because now instead of you, you know, just being able to go to school, all of your time is being spent now with the runaround.
Okay, okay. Where's my Lady Tamika? Lady Tamika, what you got for us?
I honestly, I'm not surprised by this, because we talked about, prior to them coming here, all of the issues that would be, that would play a role. You know, we talked about the school system, whether you're talking about a young child or a teenager, especially in the instance that some don't speak English at all. You know, so now you don't just have to learn, you actually have to learn the language, you know, and it's not a surprise, you know, that you would have to go through that. You know, we talked about, and then also in addition to that, it hasn't stopped. You know, we still have an influx of people coming in with no place to put them. You know, we've often been talking about putting the cart before the horse and then expecting everything to move effectively. We have been doing things backwards from the very beginning. And as you can see, this is still a part of that process. And now this gentleman is reflecting what we've already seen. You know, how to fix it? I couldn't tell you. There's a multiplicity of things that can be done. Are we doing it? No.
Mm-hmm. Vivian, what's your thought?
I'm kind of somewhere in the middle. I mean, it goes back to the story we did a couple of weeks ago or so about why are you even here? They're giving you an option to go elsewhere, and as the report says, most of them are not taking it. Nearly any of them are taking the option of going elsewhere. So you came here with the hope of going back to school. The schools are telling you we don't have any space for you, or they're looking at you as an adult and they're not allowing you to, you know, get back in school to get your high school diploma over your GED. Why not go someplace else where maybe there might be space for you and you can actually achieve your goal? Then I think about a 20-year-old in my niece's high school. And I don't know if I want that. 20 years old, 19 years old, from another country, coming here with these young kids and being able to go to school with them to get their high school diploma. I don't like that idea. So, again, this is just another level that they did not think of when they opened up these doors and allowed all these people to come flooding up in here.
All right. Something to think about. Elder Natisha, what's your thought?
I think I'm kind of caught up in the logistics of what it is that they're trying. Because if, like, I'm trying to figure out what high school diploma can you get in 60 days? Even the standard, the average time for a GED is about 3 months, which is 90 days. So I don't see how even trying to keep them stable in one place for 60 days helps them to achieve what it is that they're hoping to achieve. I think better, again, and we've talked about this a number of times, but a plan, like what's the plan? What is the plan for these people, right? Because once you evict them after 60 days from the shelter system, then by that time, would they have received a working visa to be able to stabilize themselves? Is there a housing plan in place for them so that they can at least start to become productive, you know, a part of civilization and communities and stuff like that? So I think, like, I'm needing to hear, this is a fragment. This sounds like a fragmented plan where there needs to be a rollout of an entire plan for what's to happen with these people. But to just decide, okay, we're going to fix one issue, and I don't know what issue that's fixing, by saying, okay, you can only stay here for 60 days, and then what? Do we continue to add to the homelessness, right, of different communities and stuff like that? Do we, you know, do they now just find another shelter to be in? And does this give them the ability to then actually take advantage of the system? So I just, this sounds like a fragmented plan to me. And while, you know, I could hear the complaints, you know, of a person saying, hey, I came here to be able to go to school, the truth is you're not going to be able to successfully do that anyway until you have been stabilized. Giving them 60 days in a shelter doesn't answer that or rectify that or remedy that.
Okay. Well, I don't know if I'm going to be very light today, because my mind went to several things. Oh, and I'll save this one here till last. I won't say that one yet. Okay, so I looked at the fact when Vivian said, okay, so we going to go 60 days, like Elder and I teach you. So I'm like, so what's this 60 days going to do? That does not give anybody a chance, because first of all, you got to get acclimated to where you're living. That in and of itself is something that, you have to mentally get adjusted to. You're mentally getting adjusted to coming to the country. You've been bounced around all mm-hmm. over the place, as he's described. And now you're going to say, okay, 60 days. What is 60 days, like has been said, what is 60 days going to do for you in this situation? You're not talking about another situation. You're talking about, I want to get my high school diploma. So that's really just, not a plan. Vivian mentioned she doesn't want her, you know, nieces, nephews, or any younger children, like a ninth grader, in a school with a 20-year-old. Okay, so in New York City, it's been a minute. It's been quite some time. There's an alternative program. They do not go to school with, so you could ease your mind a little bit, girl. You could rest a little bit. They do not go to school with the average children. They are in an alternative program, and that's from the ages of 17 to 21. Once you get to be 17, you can actually sign yourself out of a regular school, and you can go into an alternative program. And this has been for quite so many years now, because I've known of some young people to do it. And it's very successful. It is a very, very, very successful program. In more recent years, it's become a lot more successful because they've been able to add in a lot of programs. So rest assured that, you know, he won't be going to school with the 14-year-olds. Thank God for that. So they are separated. Excuse me. But here's my thought. Why is that our problem? I know it doesn't sound nice. I know it. My thing is, okay, so you had hopes of coming here for an education. So now that's our issue too? No. Good Lord. What else we going to worry about? We got to worry about your health. We got to worry about your living. We got to worry about this. We got to worry about that. Now, when you invite them over here, that's what you asking for. We're asking to be a part of their life's expectation. But I'm just annoyed. I'm annoyed that, you know, here it is, another issue that America has to deal with when they have not situated their own problems. I just got finished saying that they have been upgrading this alternative school program. And let me tell you something. I was listening to a radio program a few years ago, and where they really started upgrading these alternative programs, and there was a principal of a newly started alternative program, and they were begging. She was begging. She was like, if you're listening to this, please, if you've dropped out of school and you're 17, as late as 21, please come sign yourself, because the rate of children and young people who had not gotten their GED or their high school diploma was so large. So here we are begging for our own children to come into the school system, our own young people to come into the school system, and I applaud him. You know, you want to get your education, and it ain't happening over there in Venezuela or wherever else you're coming from, but I'm like, I don't want to hear it. I'm sorry. Y'all may not enjoy Stephanie right now, but I really don't want to hear it. It's just another thing that we got to be responsible for. And you know what, Lord, now you see why they're coming over in America. Now you see why. If they can't even get a regular high school diploma, not only that, where you been for 20 years? Is this really somebody else's fault? Is this really someone else's fault, or have you been messing around and had an opportunity, you gave up the opportunity, and now you decide you want to get yourself together, and now America is the place to get it. So that's another thing that went through my mind. It may not be your poverty level or some type of situation that went on. Maybe you just woke up today and you decide now this becomes America's problem. I'm sorry. This is not for me this morning. I guess maybe this ain't for me this morning. This ain't a wow morning for Stephanie, because the stuff I'm hearing is only aggravating me. It is not making me feel any better, because this is ridiculous now. This is ridiculous. All right. So our last story, a cry spa. Our 31-year-old founder has decided to give a home to those who want to wail, who are in some level of distress. There is a $20 fee for a 30-minute session, just in case you might be at work or you might be going past this this location and you may need to just vent and get your tears going. He's offering tissue, under eye patch, so you can come, do your crying, wipe your eyes, go back to work or go back to class or wherever, go back to your relationship or go back home and wash the dishes or whatever you have to do. And this is, he said he had his own heartache a few years ago, and he understands what it is to walk around like this, and there's an issue with mental health, and he feels like, I may have a partial answer. There is a licensed mental health individual, counselor, and, this may help and be of some service to the community. Lady Tamika, I still got you. Let me grab you what you got.
When I first heard it, I laughed, because I was like, I can cry in my own home. I work from home. I can cry at my job, that type of thing, but then I thought about somebody. We've many times have heard somebody say, I was at the end of my rope. Is that one of those things that you need? You go to this venue, and you pay $20. For someone like, me personally, I wouldn't need it. But for those, we keep seeing that this, not just this state, this world is going rampant, and if it takes for you to go somewhere and pay $20 to scream and yell and cry and lay on the floor and have a temper tantrum to make you feel better, and then to actually have access to someone who you can talk to, if that's going to benefit you and then you go back to work and pretend as though nothing happened, and you have regular sessions, who is it really hurting? You actually, it's a win-win for you as well as the gentleman who, who's doing it. On the average, I personally, we're talking about me, just me. It wouldn't benefit me. But for someone who would help, then, what's the cost?
All righty. Vivian, what you got? What's your thought?
I'm actually where Lady Tamika is. When I was reading it yesterday, when I was giving it this morning, I was like, what in the world? This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But then as you were going over it, Pastor, I started thinking about, the different type of people who might be able to benefit from this. I thought about a mom who's in a house with the kids, and she's feeling some type of way, and she wants to cry, but the kids won't leave her alone. Thought about the employee at work who, maybe going through something in their personal life and feels like they need to cry. They go in the bathroom, somebody goes in there, now you're feeling awkward. And seeing how he's been doing this for the past 2 years successfully, there must be a need for it. Because if it wasn't the 2 years and he's struggling for business, seems like he's doing pretty well. So there must be people out there that have a need for this. So I agree, you know. I see the harm in it. I mean, it's unfortunate if you are in a predicament where you would have to pay $20 to have a safe space to cry. But if that's something that you need, and like he was saying, you don't have a safe space at home or, you know, in your personal life, then I have this safe space for you. So I say go for it.
All righty, all righty. Shantiz, what say you of the cry spa?
Call me insensitive. I'm trying to understand the logic of I'm going to leave my house. Yesterday I shared with my church family, it got real in here for me yesterday. So I'm going to put on clothes, leave my house, pay car fare, whether I'm driving or I got to take public transportation or I got to walk. So walking is free. And I'm going to pay to be around other people that's crying? Or do I get my own room? Or how does this work? I'm trying to understand.
You get your own personal room. You get your own personal space.
So I'm leaving a personal space to travel to now pay.
Oh my goodness.
To be by myself. Well, I was already by myself. Do they give you food? Okay. So we're now finding any and every way to make money off of people. I sat and I listened to the reiteration. I sat and Pastor Steph didn't call me first. And I listened again and again. And I'm still not hearing on my end how this is making any sense. It's not even like you're saying I opened a free, like there's a free space and this is just a clear your head space. There's soft music. There's light refreshments. There's people here if you need to talk. If I'm a Christian person, there's people here if you need to pray. I'm really not grasping it again. I'm thinking even about the moment I had yesterday. And I'm not seeing how it's just like another way for people to depend on nothing instead of people learning to depend on God. Because I'm not hearing any benefit on this process, especially when you're telling me I now got to come out of pocket. And I still got to travel to get there. That just sounds bonkers to me.
Okay. Elder Nye-Tisha, what say you?
I think that last part of what Shanti said is exactly where I went immediately. I think this is very harmful. I think it is another way to direct, you know, you away from God. One of the purposes of church is community. And I know that we have, you know, church nowadays has become so convoluted because of the failures of people being broadcast through social media and things of that nature. Church is no longer considered a safe space. However, it is the place where one who has a broken heart can go and meet the Savior. To go to a empty room and to just simply cry offers you no benefit, because after you cry, you still have to come back to your home in the same position in which you left. But at least we understand that when you go into the Ark of Safety, when you go into the ecclesia, the church, you can meet God there. Even if you don't want to, quote-unquote, interact with the people, which I think there's benefit. I think God created community that we would be able to support each other. It's the way he interacts with us. It says we have not a high priest who has not been touched with the infirmities. So he understands how we feel. And so to be able to go to God with our brokenness and with our broken heart allows us to begin to develop relationship with him, develop intimacy with him, and to find him. So for the lost soul who's wandering with a broken heart, trying to understand the winds of life, the cares of life, the disappointments of life, the unexpected turns of life, it's there that you can get some clarity, you get some answers, you can receive strength, you can receive power, you can receive empowerment. You can receive sanctification, receive holiness. Like, there are so many benefits to you taking your brokenness to Jesus as opposed to just emptying out in a space, because you will still leave empty. You've emptied out, but that emptying out, it may have helped you for that moment. It's instant gratification. It is another iteration of instant gratification. So I can go here and I can just feel better and get this tension, get this emotional outburst off of me. And then, I feel so much better. But then depression, if it's depression you're fighting, it's coming back tomorrow. It's the same situation you left that put you in that situation. It's going to still be there, but you're going to be there without tools to fight.
Right.
At least if you go to God, you can leave with some tools to fight.
You know, I laughed at Shanti's because she just has a way of putting stuff that just is comical at times. But as Vivian was introducing this entire story, the first thing that came to my mind was, that's what the church is for. We do not subscribe, most of us, to Catholicism. Their churches are open all the time. To tell me you have a counselor on site gives me no, doesn't make me feel any better, because remember now, their thing is, all we do is listen. And you can talk to the wall. Wall listens too. When they do offer, they're not offering anything spiritual. They're not offering, and let me rephrase that. I hate that spiritual word. They're not offering anything godly. They're not offering Christ. They're not introducing God, because that's not their thing. When I think about this plight that you're in, and you know, you are waking up possibly, or, you know, something happened. We've all experienced some level of heartache, or waking up, you know, in the beginning of the day, and, you know, in the morning, and things are not the way you would like it to be. Or maybe sometime during the day you're at work and something hits you and you need to, you know, get it out or whatever. I don't think that's a remedy. I don't think it's a remedy either. I think, again, this is what happens when you say no to God. There are a million churches in the United States, countless. If you go to cities like New York, there are 3 or 4 of them on one block. So how many churches are you going to go past, in order to go to the cry spa? You haven't considered a church, because like Elder and I teacher said, you're looking at the fallen man, so therefore no church is good enough for you. God is not a consideration because, you know, of what you're hearing on the internet, what you're hearing on the news. On every job, there's a person of God, pretty much. So if you're at work, find a person of God. Ask for prayer. You know, it is an emptiness that you feel if you're able to go to the cry spa, which is okay. You know, if I was a sinner, you know, or a sinful person, a person without God, that might be my first recourse. But unfortunately, I can't identify with that because I am a woman who has tried God, not a pastor, but I'm a woman who has tried God, and God has proven who he can be. God will not leave me empty. I go to the cry spa. I go in an empty room. I cry. I come out the same way I went in, as has been said. I have had to travel, spend money. But if I know the work of God, if I know the work of the blood of Jesus, I don't have to leave my house to have a cry session and then go to God. And now I haven't had to spend money. I haven't had to eat any food. I haven't had to go anywhere. But I found it right in my bathroom. If my home is filled with children, I can find that right in my bathroom. I can find it in my bedroom. I can go to the basement. I can go to the attic. I think this is what's happened now that we have said no to God. And y'all hear me say this all the time on here. What, now that we've said no to God, we got cross bars now. Yo, this is this is not the move, because it's like a drug. The same way you go in, you know, you use that drug. I talked about it on Sabbath. You use the drug, you use alcohol to get, you know, you're high to try to get away from it. But when you come down off that high, you got the same problem sitting in front of you. So I think, you know, for those of us, and I'm going to close this down like this. I think for those of us who are in the Lord, those of us who know the work of Christ, those of us who know that God changes things, it's time for us to stand up. We do not offer people what the Christ Spa is offering people, but yet we know God. Shame on us. Shame on us. Those of you who say you belong to Christ and you say nothing. You go to your job and people don't know nothing about the fact that you go to church. Nobody knows anything that you pray. Shame on us. On us. Is your coworker the one who is going to leave that job and go to the cross bar when you sitting right there? So I think this is a call for us to stand up, wake up, become alert, and understand how this world needs us. Our silence is not getting us or God anywhere. God needs us on the battlefield with our mouths open, with our heads held high, and with us speaking the works of God. Shame on us. So, now we're going to talk about the young lady who's 18 years old, who we're going to salute today, Ms. Zaya Brown, who has been accepted to 50 universities, $1.3 million in scholarships. Amen. We just pray that she knows the Lord, because with all of that, as much as she has accomplished, only God could have allowed her to accomplish that. And I'm really proud of her without even knowing who she is, because we talk about young people all the time and what they're not doing. And this is a wonderful salute to Ms. Zaya Brown, giving God the glory for what he has allowed her to accomplish, and just praying that she's surrounded by people of God. Hopefully she's being brought up in a home that is a godly home, and she can know the works of Christ, and knowing that without God, none of this would be possible. I woke up today, ladies. Thank you so much for indulging us in our socially conscious segment. I woke up today and I realized I didn't have a topic. I was like, how did you not get a topic? It was my intent last night, just didn't happen. So I told the ladies that I might be coming to you. But Lady Tamika ended up giving me something that I actually really like. And considering that Vivian for this month has been, you know, highlighting some women, because this is Women's Month, I really liked the suggestion she made. Oh, before I go any further, we do have a comment from a listener. Jesus is free. Amen. Jesus is free. Thank you so much for your comment. So Lady Tamika says, pretty much, the plight of being a woman. Let's talk about that. Now, I want to put a little extra padding on that, and I want to talk about the plight of being an African-American woman, a black woman, whichever one you classify. Some people have really voiced their dislike of African-Americans. So, I'll play with that a little bit. But Lady Tamika says, we still have you. Why don't you get the ball rolling on this topic of the plight? What do you see as a plight of the black woman?
It's very difficult as a woman in general. But then when you put that extra type and that extra seasoning of the fact that I'm an African-American woman, there are all types of stereotypes that are out there, things that people think that you should follow, to transition yourself. Why not be who you are? God created you for a reason, and you have a purpose. And so, add also the fact that you're talking about a woman who's African-American, who's a Christian. That's an entirely different thing. And so,
yeah,
to keep yourself from being entangled with all of the different things that want you to conform, to bow down, to transition, to be comfortable with their status quo. You're not supposed to be that. After a while, you find yourself yoked at the neck, at the ankle, at the arm, any form of movement, even at the heart. And so you have to fight every day to stand, to speak, to assist, to be the light in the midst of all of that chaos. And, it is truly a plight. And, we have to help each other, with that. You see someone struggling, don't let her hang with a crown, at her ankles. Help her lift it up. That's the other thing. In the midst of all that transition, don't allow your sister to be held down, but entangled. If you can use what it is that you can have, that you have within you, whether it's a word, whether it's a hug, whether it's a look, do it so that we all can stand.
Amen, amen, amen. Vivian, we're talking about the plight of the black and Christian woman. You can take it from any angle you'd like. But what's your thought? What do you feel is a plight of, that we battle?
I guess I would say stereotypes. Like, you can't have emotion without being considered an angry black woman. Just walking down the street, you get the feeling and the looks and the just knowing that the person is uncomfortable as you're walking towards them just because you're black. Just those stereotypes that we have to face as black women, I'll leave it at black women, as black women, that it's unfair. Like, I'm just a person. It shouldn't be this fear or this expectation or these thoughts of me just because I'm black.
Okay. We're coming back around with that one. Shantice, what do you feel is a plight that we are facing?
Facing as a black Christian woman, that we don't have any real problems. Like, we have problems, but it ain't all that serious. Especially, and we spoke about this last night, especially if I have God, then I got everything together. And there shouldn't really be any complaints or any, at no point in your life should you be a naysayer regarding anything because you're a black Christian woman. So why don't you have this together?
Okay. Well, we're going to come back around with that one. Oh, Elder Natisha, what say you?
Being a jack of all trades, I think it's expected that the black woman just remain strong at all times, and that, you know, the black woman has had to be the one to uphold her family, to be, you know, the mother, and hold up the responsibility in a home where there is no man in the house. And so she's had to fix the windows, or she's had to clean the car, she's had to take care of the kids, she's had to go out and work, and then she's had to even there be strong, ignore the micro and macro biases and forms of racism that exist in the workplace, and yet still remain strong and not have a weak moment because she's not allowed to. She has to transition consistently from one situation to the next. And then in some instances, if she holds responsibility in church, she's a leader there too. So she then has to bear the responsibility of what it looks like to be a leader and maintain her strength, her posture, even in that space. So, you know, there isn't a safe space for her to be weak. She just has to maintain her strength at all times. And yesterday, I, you know, just felt led to send out a prayer, and I had literally prayed this prayer over my sister women of all ages.
Amen.
And the replies that I got back were heartbreaking, of women who talked about just their brokenness, or just not feeling close to God, or I mean, it just ranged the number of responses I received back. And so I think a conversation like this is needed, and it is important, because we are standing under immense pressure with nowhere to turn. We just have to be a jack of all trades and strong at all times.
Wow, ladies. Oh, we're coming back around with these things. So, Lady Tamika, you can address the angry black woman. We don't have real problems, or the jack of all trades who have to, you know, has to maintain and has no safe space. Where are you going?
I want to go with the whole idea of this black angry woman. The average woman that you see that is angry is not angry because she just decided she's waking up and now she got an attitude in life. This is, and what I'm getting ready to do is kind of merge the whole thing, because she has all of this on her shoulder and she rarely ever gets a chance to let it just go, you know, because anytime that she lets one of those plates go, they crash, you know. And so with that, you know, she has a lot that she has to do, you know. And at this point, I've come to you, I've asked you for help, you know, I've come into the office and I'm disregarded. Just on sight, I haven't spoken a word, you know, and you see it, you know, as a black woman, you recognize it when you go into the room, you know, and, you know, nobody wants to hear what you have to say. You have gone through extra measures to try to get things done. Now I have to either go over your head or I have to scream and yell to get your attention. You know, it's sad. It's kind of like the children in the room. You got a bunch of children in the room. And, you know, that one is getting ignored. And after a while, you either do one of two things. Either you learn to deal with it, or you speak up and you speak out because you have to, because I'm in this room and nobody sees me, you know. And so at that point, you know, I'm not just automatically angry. It's at this point, nobody sees me, and now I have to make a move. And if I've got to throw something across the room to get your attention, now I have to do it. Now, at this point, you know, we get tired of that stigmatism. But, you know, if I don't, then again, you know, I'm standing with everything at my heels. And so if I've got to scream, if I've got to yell, if I have to appear as the angry woman, then so be it. But I get things done.
All right. Vivian, we got you for a couple of extra minutes. You can address either we don't have real problems or the woman who has to be or who is a jack of all trades, but she has no safe space.
I'll go with the we don't have real problems. We spoke about this on the prayer line the other day about how people just expect that because you know God, that means you won't have any problems. You won't go through anything, and that's just not true. And I don't know why is it that when it comes to black women that there's this stigma that we have to have it all together. I think because we are black women that we have even more of a reason to not have it all together. Like, we go through a lot of things just being black that will call for us to, you know, have some issues. And one thing that I'm just thinking about is just we're black women, so most of the time we have black family members that we are concerned about, the black men in our families and things like that, or just the unfairness of the world because we're black. So for you to expect that I need to have it all together, it's just unreal. It's unrealistic. And that's something that people just need to just get out of their minds. No matter what race, but since we're talking about black women, there's no way that one person can go through life and not have any problems.
Okay.
So I think that's something that we need to really, that's a stigma that we really need to work on. And to put that pressure on somebody is unfair.
Okay. Good stuff, ladies, good stuff. Shantice, you've got, I don't know if I want to give you the angry black woman. Or the jack of all trades.
Keep talking that. Jesus works for me. Amen.
The angry black woman or jack of all trades and no safe space.
I'm going to take the angry black woman. There's a lot, you know, especially when you're not focused on God. There's a whole lot for a black woman to be angry about. Even touching on what Vivian just mentioned, you know, we're responsible. Even without you being a biological mother, even without you being someone's wife, there's still a lot of responsibility that the average black woman has with the people in her family, her friends, her job. Now you just add on, if you're a black Christian woman, and you definitely now have people who God is sending you to serve. So, of course, now it's not just, well, I'm a single woman, so I ain't got no kids, I ain't got to worry about this, I ain't got no husband, so I don't have to worry about that. No, there's still a very heightened, you know, concern that you have, and with the way the streets are now and with people being people, you know, you feel very justified in being angry. And it's only if the black woman decides to really commit herself, her life, and really focus on God that she can now learn what it means to, okay, this may get me upset, but give those worries and that anger to God so now he can turn that into fuel so that she now knows how to use that. You know, how can I take how you're making me angry and now use that in a way for me to serve you better? You know, only God can show you how to do that. You know, so when you talk about being angry, you know, you're talking about, you know, the responsibility that a black woman understands she has. And I keep telling people, I remember a few years ago, I said, you know, it would be one thing if these men were my husband and I had a headache, that would make a whole lot more sense in the natural than for me to have a headache with men who, I'm like, we don't share no property, we ain't got no kids, we ain't got no bank account to split. Like, why am I stressed out over you? But, again, understanding And when God says, I need you to pay attention to that life, I need you to assist me with bringing that life to me, you know, there's a high level of concern. So God just teaches you, you know, the black woman, how to turn that anger into fuel for him, you know, but there's a lot that the black woman has to contend with.
All righty. Elton and Tisha, giving you an opportunity to wrap this up and including everything, that all the plights that have been mentioned. What you got for us?
I think, you know, when we think about the pressures that that are on us, whether it be that we are identified as angry black women or what that looks like in the workplace and how we have to show up in the workplace, how we have to be overachievers in school, how we have to be overachievers at work, how we have to care for the family and try to search out safe spaces for ourselves. This brings us full circle as to why we need more than the cry room. I think with that level of pressure, that level of weight, it requires that we be held up by a strength that is not our own. There is a whole line of ancestors that I'm reminded of when just even my trip to Africa and seeing black women function as entrepreneurs, getting up every day at the crack of dawn in order to set up their marketplaces and to set up their food and to have their children out there with them to provide for themselves. Our people have always been survivors. Our people have always been able to, even when Europeans wanted to distort our understanding of Jesus, we still found a way to understand who Jesus is for who he is and not for what they were trying to use him against us to be. And so I think it is that perseverance, that tenacity, that relying on our faith that we have to still grab hold of today. And so for every black woman who is listening, who feels empty, who feels tired, who feels exhausted by the weight that you carry on a daily basis, I want you to know that there is a strength that is greater than your own strength. You don't have to stand alone in doing it, that you can rely on Jesus. You can rely on some sisters. Every sister is not backbiting. Every sister is not wanting to gossip about you, not wanting to just get in your business to use it against you. But there are some women that will come alongside you and uphold your arms, that will lift your head up when your crown is hanging low. And so I want you to be prayerful about how to move forward and find community. You were not created to do it alone, and that's the only way that you'll be able to walk with the necessary strength, not a strength that is put on because you have to, but a necessary strength, a strength that is greater than your own that will cause you to continue to stand, and a community of women that will be with you to encourage you, to empower you, and to remind you of who you are.
Amen. Amen. Ladies, thank you so much for another session, another conversation. We are really grateful to you for what you've given us today. Thank you for your contribution into today's conversation, and we pray you have a blessed day.
God bless
you.
Thank you. Wow, we had Lady Tamika the whole morning. Amen. All right. All righty. So, I've ended a little earlier this morning because yesterday I was supposed to make this announcement. So, for those of you who listen to Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day, we periodically have our My Two Cents segment, and that's Brother Ainsley, Shantice, and myself. Well, we're going video as of tomorrow night, God spares. And we are doing My Two Cents edition of the Writers Guild Awards. Now, we've had several awards that have happened this year already, and one of the biggest, I don't want to say complaints, but complaints if you want to use that word, is the fact that we are not really included in the biggest events, and we just keep asking, why don't we just have our own? It's enough of us to have our own. But you know how we do over here on this Due Time with Pastor Steph. We're trendsetters. So we're going video, and we looked at the Writers Guild Awards, and we saw that, yet again, we really were not included. And how many people would really want to actually look at this particular award? So what we decided to do was to get involved. We are actually including ourselves in four categories. We're going to do our own My Two Cents on, you know, for these categories. And the first one we're going to actually tackle is the Adapted Screenplay Award. Now, this particular award show has a segment that has a focus on how many books were written but went to screen. So I'm going to give you a little list of those that have been included. The ones that are up for nomination: Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, American Fiction, are three that have been included. And I believe The Color Purple, maybe. But here's what we're going to do. Considering that most of these categories did not include, quote-unquote, us, which might be a plight that we may want to talk about later, we decided to view one of the movies that they did have on their nomination list. And then, as Shantice suggested, we would now look at all the other options that fall into this category and see which ones we felt should have been nominated, say why, and see, you know, what it looks like up against the Oppenheimer, since that's the one we chose. So looking down this list, there are 39 books in the year of 2023 that actually went to the screen. Now, they had to go directly to the theater. They could not go to streaming. They could not go to TV. They could not go to DVD. So some of the ones that you can watch if you should choose to: Killers of the Flower Moon is actually streaming, Oppenheimer, American Fiction, All of Us Strangers, Poor Things, The Color Purple, Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. What else is Ferrari, actually, is one. Let's see what else we got. We've got, what's that one I just got finished watching? Knock at the Cabin. That one I know is on Prime. And Blackberry. So those, if you should choose to watch, watch those. We have no idea which one we are going to watch outside of Oppenheimer. So it should be a really good conversation. We will be up on Facebook Lives and our YouTube Live. We're going to air at 7:30. So if you choose to join us, please feel free to do so. We would love to have you. If you enjoy our segment, our normal segment that we air on Tuesdays, My Two Cents, then you get to actually view it live. So looking forward to you joining us, looking forward to you conversing with us. We want your live conversation. We want to know your thoughts. We want to know your feelings. So please, you know, if you're not doing anything, sign on. I'll make this announcement tomorrow. And Oppenheimer is very long. It's 3 hours long, but it is worth looking at. So you might want to check that out. Like I said, you have some others. You can actually go on the Internet, and you can put in the search books that are movies 2023, and it will give you a nice list. So I'm going to take this time, in light of what the ladies have said, you know, some real powerful words that were given this morning, and in light of what the ladies have shared and the points that they've made, I think I want to hold hands and hold hearts this morning and go before the Lord together. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we come before you, Lord, giving you thanks that we've even been included to this Wow Wednesday. We do not look at it as hump day, because you've already chosen. You've already mapped out our day. So we're here just to walk out your will for our life. Live out the will that you have for our life. Walk in the way that you have designed for our life. And we're so grateful to Heavenly Father that your forgiveness, your grace and mercy has reigned in our lives. Because if not, we wouldn't even be here. We wouldn't be here to talk and minister. We wouldn't even be here to listen. And Lord, we pray for every minister this morning. The word that you have given that has been filtered through every voice this morning. We pray, God, that we're clear. We pray that we're understood properly. We pray, God, that we have delivered your word as accurately as you've given it. We pray to Heavenly Father that it was given with a level of humility and love and concern. We thank you to Heavenly Father for just choosing us, that when we get up in the morning, we already know we're going to be used by you. We don't have to wonder if you're going to use us today, how you're going to use us today, because our purpose has already been designed. And we thank you that your spirit has allowed us to become aware of our purpose. Where others have not quite connected, we've already touched on what you have for us to do. And God, we pray for a greater anointing. We are so grateful to Heavenly Father that we've come this far, that at one point we weren't able to say anything. But now, you've just expanded our horizon and our territory and enabled us to just be able to sprout each day more and more and more, bloom each day more and more and more, that we could reach your people. God, we pray for the listener. Your word said from very early in this broadcast that everybody who listens will be healed, but they've got to be consistent and do exactly as they're told. And Lord, as we have our listeners who tune in to us on a regular basis, we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that they find themselves growing in you. Not growing in us, but growing in you. Listening and hearing you just through our voices. Listening and hearing you just through our words. And that they would find a reason and more of a reason each day to tune in, because you've got a word specifically for them. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for our listeners who fuel what we do, who remind us of why you've chosen us and what we've been placed here to do. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for not just our due time crew of today, but our due time crew of Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. God, we ask you to touch their voices, their hearts, their spirits, their minds, even though they're not here. We pray, God, that you touch their ears and their eyes, that they would connect with you much more. So when it is time for them to come on, they have just gathered up everything it is that you would have them to give to us. And we thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for your love that just continues and continues and continues. We thank you, God, again for your forgiveness. The times, God, that you have said no, thank you. And that's why we're still here, because you said no. We give you the glory and the honor, dear Heavenly Father, to rightly do your name. In the precious name of Jesus, we thank you again for today, God, and we ask you that even that listener could now hang up, disconnect, and really understand what their duties are as a child of God. That they've heard something here today that they can now go out and they can give to the nation. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You know, I never worry when I don't have a particular individual on, or when I don't have a story or a topic. I feel like I'm somehow short, because God always fills in the gap. And just giving God thanks that the ladies and the gentlemen are always on point. They're always ready to give a word. And as we talk about the plight of the woman, black and Christian, I think about those of us who have had a very hard beginning. And, you know, when you think about the things the ladies have talked about, the angry black woman, the, you know, people who feel like we don't have real problems, when we think about those who say, you know, that, you know, hey, you're a jack of all trades, and, you know, unfortunately, we have no safe space. I think about the woman who got a very hard start, but yet has allowed God to just take her life and mold it. And I always tell this congregation, I said, you know, you don't even know what God wants to do with you. God wants to take you, break you down, reshape you, and hold you up and say, this is what I've done. This is my masterpiece. And to think that God wants to use you, this woman who has come through, you know, abuse, and this woman who has come through abandonment, and this woman who has come from rejection, and this woman who has come from all types of hard, you know, a hard time, and women who have come from, you know, now I'm disenchanted with church or family or love or care. And God wants to take you and he wants to break you down, because he can't really use you until he's broken you down. Yeah, we just ain't going to magically, even, you know, at our best prayer, just go from, you know, this point to this point without some breaking. Because when God reshapes us, when we position ourselves, I'm big on that. I'm big. You'll hear me say it all the time. We have to position ourselves to be broken down, because we are considered angry all the time. And as has been said, we've got reason to be angry. You're talking about abandonment. We're talking about a lack of love and rejection. You know, that's a lot to contend with and still have to function in this world. That's a lot to contend with and still have to move despite your failures and get back up and try to do this again. And if you're doing all of that and you don't know God, oh, the job is a lot harder. So yeah, she just might seem real angry because she probably is. But as has been said, she ain't angry for no reason. So God has got to break you from some of the misconceptions you have, some of the hurt and pain that you've experienced, and he needs to kind of inject his love, inject his view, inject a new way of looking at things and how we absorb things and how we feel about things and excuse me, how we compute some stuff. You know, you hear people talk and you're like, how do we get there? That's what God needs to break. But we don't position ourselves to be broken so that God can reshape us and hold us up and say, this is me. This is what I look like. This is an example, excuse me, of what I can do. Now, one of the downsides of being broken, it hurts. Oh, make no mistake about it. It hurts. When you gotta face you and who you really are and the fact that this ain't working and I thought it, you know, it's been working for 30-something years or 20-something years or 50-something years, and now here you telling me I can't do that no more? That hurts. And that's what prevents most women, since we're talking about the woman, most women from sticking it out. You know, you can convince a woman, hey, try this, try Jesus. But if I can tell you how many women have turned around and run in the opposite direction, back into the madness because it's more comfortable there. It's easier to dwell there because it don't take no work to dwell there. That hurt ain't like the hurt of being broken by God. Because, see, when God starts to break you, it's him peeling back the skin. Peeling and peeling and peeling and peeling. And every time you get a little more exposed, it hurts a little more. And just when you got over that hurt, excuse me, God is peeling back that next layer. And it hurts. But here's the best part about knowing God. Boy, is that pain worth it. That pain is worth it. You're never going to feel nothing better than that. Because when you come back from off that pain, you feel like a brand new person. You see different. You hear different. You speak different. Your heart is different. Yeah. So let him break you. Because when he perfects you, he's just going to hold you up and say, this is what I've done. And, you know, I always talk about the fact that I've always been very private. And, man, for the sake of God's kingdom, has he had me exposing some private things about me. And when I'm talking, I'm like, Lord, you really don't have me talking about this right now, do you? But when it's all said and done, it feels good. It feels good. It doesn't hurt when I. It does hurt when I got to go back and say some other stuff. But when you look at lives changing, when you look at people have a larger determination to want to be a better person in the Lord, you realize that although it's not comfortable for you, but, you know, for the glory of the kingdom, to the glory of God, you know what, God, I signed up for you to use me. So here I am. Use me. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to let God break you. Because when you come out on the other end, you're going to shine like pure gold. And don't forget, God is with you in the journey. It may not feel like it. Trust me, woo-wee. Just ask God, geez, what I go through in here sometimes. It don't really feel like God is with you. But when God really exposes himself in your situation, you're like, wow, God, look at you. So come on, come on, come on. Come on. Don't be afraid. Let God into your life and let God change you. And that plight, whatever your plight is, you know, we've just listed a few this morning, but whatever that plight is, I promise you, it won't feel the same. It won't be the same. You won't know it the same. There's nothing about this plight that you won't go back and say, God, was that? Did I really go through that? Boy, you were with me through the whole journey. So I want to encourage you today to make it your business to hang around people of God. I really can't stress that enough. And one of the reasons why I'm really stressing that is because we don't want to have to worry about going to the cry spa. You know, we've got some real good reasons to go to the cry spa. You know, we can see some benefit. But see, this is where God has gotten me. I can't go to second best. I'm not at that point in my life anymore where okay is satisfactory for me. Why? Because I've gotten to know the Lord. And I know God wants the absolute best for us. There's treasures awaiting in heaven just for us. And it ain't when we die. It's while we're here on earth. God has everything stored up for us. We just got to get to the point where he can trust us enough to give it to us. So you want to make sure that you take him your burdens. Take him your wailing. Take him your heartache. Because by the time he finishes with you, you're not going to keep paying for something to come out empty. The word of God says that God is close to the brokenhearted. Guess what? You can't get that at the cry spa. Ooh. You ain't got to leave your house. All you got to do is pick up that Bible and read the promises of God, and you will not be disappointed. And definitely left empty. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew, my ladies, for always coming through big time. Thank you for hanging out with us today. Please do not miss this opportunity to give Jesus your life right now. Please do not miss this opportunity, even if you've given Jesus your life. But get that relationship stronger. Get closer to God right now, because later is not promised to any of us. Until tomorrow, God spares, where it's Therapeutic Thursday. until then, I love